When I call you up, be ready to come on up. So today we are celebrating, showing appreciation and honoring our pastors. And our pastors are Pastor Chuck Wood, Pastor Aaron Martin, Pastor Ryan McDonald, and Pastor Marty McDonald. But what we also want to do is show honor and give appreciation to the spouses of our pastors. The strength and the support that comes from them is incredible. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Our pastors and their spouses have lived this scripture out. And I want to share what I believe defines our pastors, their spouses, and what they mean to all of us. They are people of God, followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, friends, someone dedicated to the church body. We serve with them, we read the Bible with them, we worship with them, we laugh with them, we cry with them, we dine with them, we learn with them, and we grow with them. We truly do life together with our pastors. Amen? And if you're going to be sharing, come on up. So first to share is going to be Judy. Come on over. She's going to be sharing for Pastor Chuck Wood.
Good morning, everyone. So Pastor Chuck couldn't be here today because he isn't feeling good. But Pastor Chuck, I hope you're watching online. Over the last 7 years, you have been such an inspiration to my husband, Marty, who was unable to be here today, and myself. You do so much for so many in our church over the last 20-plus years. Your faithfulness and obedience does not go unnoticed. You are a teacher, mentor, friend, and a grandfather figure to so many. Over the years, you have pushed me to not only look at the external, but to look at things from a spiritual perspective. You have inspired me to embrace what I was created to do and how I love others the way Christ did. Also, you have shown me the importance of standing on the promises of God in the Bible instead of just knowing it. Pastor Chuck, there are so many in this church who feel as I do, and we are blessed to have known you and are changed forever because of your teaching. But more importantly, the example you live out in your everyday life, like how you love Linda. We love your isms and stories. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He has one foot in hell and one on a banana peel. Hit the brick, Satan, and you know that you know that you know. Your legacy lives on not only in your isms and your stories, but more importantly in your teaching of the Bible to so many souls over the years. I am honored to be one of those souls. Pastor Chuck, thank you for giving unto the Lord over the years, and we love you and are so thankful for you and Linda both. Thank you.
Good morning. Paul and I are so excited to be able to share in our appreciation for Pastor Aaron. From Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." Pastor Aaron, you are selfless in showing love to those around you. You demonstrate your love of Jesus, of your family, your friends, and your church with dignity and with beauty. You give joy through your endless artistic talents, your creative touches that brighten our church, and your personal teachings that deliver Jesus' word. That joy touches hearts and changes lives. You have a quiet strength, an intrinsic light that gives peace to our church. It sends a message of encouragement and a heart of hope to many unbeknownst to you. Your patience is seen as you listen, as you minister. It is shown in your leadership, and your willingness to complete the behind-the-scenes chores that no one even knows that are happening. Kindness is found in your smile and in the ways that you care for our church. It is overflowing in the ways that you give of your talents and of your time and your willingness to make our church a place that is welcoming to all. Pastor Aaron, goodness is shown in your integrity, your character, and the way that you honor Jesus. It is demonstrated in your children as they grow and how they are serving Jesus in our church. Your faithfulness demonstrates the Holy Spirit at work in your life and in your leadership, in the way that you serve Jesus and the way that you serve all of us, in how you live your life. It's a pathway for all of us in our church to follow. You live by the Holy Spirit. You lead with the characteristics from Galatians 5:22, and you have been equipped with spiritual gifts. For that, we as a congregation, I as your friend, Paul as your friend, we are thankful for you, for Ben, and for your family, and we appreciate you.
Pastor Aaron, thank you for everything you do for all of us. You truly make our lives better.
Good morning, City Church. Pastor Ryan McDonald. Today we take a moment to recognize and honor your role as a pastor here at the City Church in both directing the affairs of the church and preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." You are a man with a reputation for being busy with the work of the Lord, and a worker can always be found with a tool in hand, a rake, a shovel, a cell phone, a pen and paper, a microphone, a cup of coffee. Amen. But your works are not to attain salvation. They are evidence of your salvation, as James 2:18 says. This gift is an acknowledgement of the hours you've sown into the work of the Lord, the times you waited on him for an answer, the time it takes to do ministry on a daily basis. It says, "In honor of Pastor Ryan McDonald, in recognition of your dedication to the work of the ministry at the City Church, as a laborer appointed to sow and reap a heavenly harvest to the glory of God, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Happy Pastor Appreciation, and get to work."
Pastor Marty McDonald, I could stand up here for a week and tell all the ways I appreciate you, but they said I got 60 seconds, so we're going to get it done. I appreciate how you lead with wisdom, love, and biblical honesty. I appreciate that you are frequently and consistently in prayer. You're dedicated to saturating both our congregation and the community with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I appreciate the way you share life before Christ without hesitation and the challenge of human existence without God, and this makes you relatable to new believers. But you don't stop there. You shine with the blessings of a Christ-filled life, with a spirit of love, contentment, grace, and peace. You help us understand that these gifts are available to all of us and will be achieved in a life that yearns for heavenly rewards. I appreciate your dedication to family. You're a fortress of trust and security. You are patient to listen and quick to encourage. You show us all how to be strong and affectionate. I appreciate how you correct in love with the intent to help. You guide us with the voice of a shepherd, gathering and leading us in hopes that one day when we stand before Jesus, we will all hear, "Well done, faithful servant."
I have to say it. Oh, Captain, my Captain, That's what I fondly refer to you as. You are deeply loved, and you truly are a shepherd fashioned after his own heart. We offer this gift to you as a token of our love and appreciation for all that you do for us. This congregation is better because of you. Thank you to you and Patty both. Your love for one another is a way in which you shine the light of Jesus Christ to all of us who are married, hope to be married, and live out the daily life of marriage. Thank you both, and thank you, Patty, for the way in which you support our pastor. I'd like to now invite Ashley and Adam up. Ashley, she's the one who had a vision for the clocks today, and we'd just like her to share.
How am I supposed to follow that? So as you see, there's some beautiful clocks up in front of here, and they were created and made by a local business called Bacchus Backyard Creations out of Livonia, New York. I thought what a perfect gift these clocks would make, because just like our pastors, they are uniquely made, handcrafted, and delivered by God. We can never thank you all enough, but let these clocks symbolize our gratitude for each of you. Thank you for the tireless hours you have each spent instilling us with God's word and leading the city church as well as your community with integrity. Thank you for the hours you have spent sacrificing your time with your families to pray over us during times the enemy tried to defeat us. These beautiful gifts will not be possible without so many people who have undying love and support for each of you. We all had a special part in making this vision become reality. Thank you so much, our pastors.
Pastor Marty, come on up. Jesus, a big hand this morning. Could we do that? So beautiful. Thank you all. I don't know what I'm supposed to do after this, but thank you so, so very much. Oh, dismiss the kids? There you go. If you have some of them things, as Aaron would say. Thank you all, each one of you, for those kind words that I get. I'm very blessed and honored to hear when you say things about Pastor Ryan and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Chuck. I just think like you're speaking right to me as well, and I thank each and every one of you. None of us go day to day expecting anything like this. I want you to know that. We don't get to October and stand back and think, boy, they better do something nice for us. Each one of us are more than honored every day to do what we do. I want you to know that. That's not the case it is everywhere. But we are thankful and we are honored to do what we do every single day. And although life, I was sitting there thinking, sometimes life is like, you're going to hear an incredible, my son is going to preach the best message today that I've ever heard him preach. Sometimes life feels like you're going through a car wash, but not in your car. You get knocked around, but the purpose is when you come out on the other side, you should be cleaner. And don't complain about life and don't complain about where you're at. If you need to pivot and change, God is, he's here to help each one of us to do that. We have to do that on a regular basis, all the time. The Bible says he takes you from glory to glory. There's changing and there's movement always in your life and in mine. And you're just going to love this message this morning. It's so great. I want to say again to all of you, thank you for the birthday gifts, cards, wishes, texts, Facebook messages, Instagram messages, LinkedIn messages, the calls, the emails, the cards, the cookies, the coffee, for every kind thing that every one of you have done and you just continue to do. There's nowhere in the world that I'd rather be than right here today. I had a very wealthy man come up to me several years ago. He said, you know, I could help you go to a city where you could do much greater than where you're at right now. I thought about it for a moment. But I will never forget we'll celebrate 25 years this Easter. 30 years ago, I went to a conference at a friend church in Chicago, and there was a man there that had a prophetic gift on him, and he called me out. There was, I don't know, 400 or 500 people there, and he said, God's going to send you to a place, and he says it's a place where many people have come and gone, that it's burned many people up. He said it's a hard place. And I'm standing there thinking, like, God, why don't you send me to an easy place? Like, isn't there a nice church on the beach somewhere that I could go to? He said, I'm going to send you to a hard place. But he said, God's going to bless you in that. And I want you to know, there's been difficult times. Hello? I've been married this December 44 years. Stand up, darling. They just got to see. Nobody can believe that you've been... Do you think that being married 44 years, there are not tough times? I want to say this to all the young people that are newly married and you're going through and you're finding out things about your husband and your wife and, you know, you didn't know that when you married them. You know, I always have people say, oh, we'll never have that problem and I'll never, he's not like that and she's not like that, only to find out, yeah, they are. Suck it up. Do the work that it takes. Stay together. Yeah, them big brushes like that car wash come beat you up a little bit sometime. When you come through, you're going to be better, cleaner, greater, stronger, more anointed, more gifted. You'll have more influence, more blessing, more favor, more joy, more hope, more peace, more grace than you'd ever had before. I need to hear a great amen on that this morning. Stay the course. Let's do what God's called us to do, okay? This morning, my son, that I am well pleased, Pastor Ryan, I want you to give him the best City Church. Well, come on. Come on. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. Let them know how much you love them.
There is no place like City Church. Get to work. Suck it up. Beat you up. That's good. Yeah, it's life for sure. Hey, last night I left my parents' house, and when I was walking out the door, my mom looked at me, and she said, "You're going to do great tomorrow." If I talk too much, she'd be crying in a second, so I won't. And then my dad followed up with, "Oh, you're going to do such a great job tomorrow, Ryan." On Friday, I did a funeral, and a man that was a minister in this community for, I don't know, 20 years, called me, and he said, "Thanks for filling in for me, Rye. I heard you did a great job." And I share all that to say this. It takes some love and encouragement along the way. And I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for, at 6 o'clock this morning, I got up, was reading through my notes, and Pastor Ron Bergio texted me. And, I mean, it was a text, amen. And I'm just so thankful, and I honor my parents today on Pastor Appreciation. And it's been a great ride. It's been a fun ride, just a great journey. Last week was Dad's birthday. Amen. And tomorrow is my son Ryan's birthday. I don't know where he is, but he's around here somewhere. Oh, he's up in the sound booth eating donuts and chilling with Mo. He's going to be 14 tomorrow, and I'm so proud of him. Amen. And yesterday was my 17th wedding anniversary. So a lot of stuff going on. Amen. I have to save up all year for October. And when you walked out of your house, wherever you were this morning, you can tell that the seasons are changing, can't you? Whether you like it or not, whether you embrace it or not, there's leaves on the ground. There's a lot of leaves at my house. And the seasons are changing. The weather's changing. I believe that not only in the seasons in the earth, but there's also a shifting of seasons in our lives. You know, we've been through a tough time. COVID has been extremely difficult. I know there's some terrible difficulty from it. But I believe with all my heart, and I believe you sense it as well, that we are walking into a new chapter. And again, not only in this season and in the weather and in our country, not only in our family with birthdays and all this stuff, but I believe there's a new chapter for you. I believe with all my heart, I believe as I begin to write this message and begin to really ask the Holy Spirit what he had, I felt with all my heart, with all my soul, that God has a new chapter for you, your new chapter. You said, man, I've just been beat up. I've been through the car wash without the car. I've just been through a grinding season. I believe with all my heart that if you'll embrace what God has next for you, there is a new season right around the corner for you. Do you receive that this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this next season, this next chapter, your next chapter. Father, we thank you that you do all things well, and that you work out all the details for us. We ask for strength and direction today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you something out of Ruth 1:22. And I know Ruth is typically used as for Mother's Day, and ladies preach it and so on. And I believe that's because of the gender that the writer has, but I want you to know this morning, the book of Ruth is so much more than the gender of the character in the scripture. The book of Ruth is a hinge pin. Some of the ladies are looking at me. Where are you going with this? The book of Ruth is a hinge pin for most of the Old Testament. And as you research it and understand it, it's also a hinge pin for most of the 27 books of the New Testament. This book of the Bible gives birth to the New Testament. I think it's funny. I think it's God's sense of humor that he uses this book as a birthing point, as a birthing stage for the New Testament with her being a woman. And we're thankful for all the ladies in here today. And this scripture says these words. So Naomi returned from Moab accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. And if you're following along, you're noticing right now I'm at the end of chapter 1, and I'm turning now to chapter 2, the next chapter. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of good standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grains behind anyone in whose favor I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went, entered the field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was a part of the family. This is Naomi and Ruth's next chapter. What I've just read to you, they've been through some situations, some circumstances, but they're moving in to a new chapter. And I want to say to you again, I believe you are moving in to a new chapter. And God uses this book of the Bible to launch many books of the Bible ahead. And as we read and understand the book and the scripture that we've just read, we understand that the book of Ruth is a book of change. And I hope you hear me this morning. I pray with all my heart that you receive and retain what I'm about to share, because I believe it will bring peace to you in the next seasons of your life. Newsflash, the seasons just keep on changing, don't they? Life just keeps on coming to you. Life just keeps on progressing, and there's season after season after time after time. And I believe God uses the book of Ruth to teach us how to deal with these new seasons. Most people hate the process of change, but they love what change does. We pray prayers like this. God, I pray that you'd change this. I pray, am I the only one? I pray that you change that. I pray that you do this. I pray that you do that. The difficulty with praying for change, though, is often God sends disruption to allow change. We all love that, don't we? We love disruption, right? Yeah, no. But if you pray for change, believe me when I tell you, oftentimes God sends disruption. During COVID, many changes were forced on the world, not only on the world, on the church. And the COVID season, the season of disruption, facilitated many positive changes, not just negative ones. You'll never receive the change you're looking for without some disruption. You can't lose weight without a disruption in your diet. You can't plant a tree without disruption in the soil. Change brings disruption. Discomfort. You can't plant a garden. I thought of our garden. The soil's all pushed around. And this disruption that is beginning to be shown in the book of Ruth shows us how to handle it and how to move through it and not to become distracted with the disruption and lose the purpose of God in the midst of it. Many of you right now are in a season of change. You're in a season of disruption. You're in a season of discomfort. But what God is trying to accomplish, the will of God is going forth, and you have a decision to make. You have a decision in your mind to make. Either I'm going to resist this disruption and this change, I'm going to resist it, or I'm going to embrace and ask the Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to do through me and in me? I think of our anniversary. I think of the process that we've been on in 17 years. You know, my dad says we've been married 45 years. Lots of process, lots of disruption. I've been there for it. Amen. Not all of it, he said. Enough of it. Disruption comes to all of us. Every person within the sound of my voice, I want to give you a news flash this morning that all the disruption that's happening in your life and that will happen in your life is not Satan himself. Oftentimes, it is the will of God pressing you, pushing you towards his will and his purposes. And if I can just encourage you for a second, I want to encourage you to say this. Don't get distracted. Don't get so emotionally upset about what's happening in your life that you lose the purpose of God, the plan of God, the season that God has brought to you to make you into his image and into his likeness. I could go around the room right now. Someone was just waving at me in the back. I remember in a season of their life, brokenness and hurting. And then they came out of their broken and hurting season only to help me in a broken and a hurting season. And watching the disruption in our lives, God just drive us to his purpose. If you look back over your life, the times that you have been severely disrupted and you thought life was over, you thought all was lost, you were at the lowest point in your life only to see that what was happening is God was opening a door to a change that you needed so badly. And in this case, in the text we visited today, disruption is happening. Disruption is taking place in their lives, Naomi's life. And which brings me to my first thought this morning. And I want you to remember this. I want you to embrace this. I want you to just log this away in your spirit. How you adapt to disruption will determine how far God can take you. Listen to what I'm saying. When disruption comes, when change comes, when difficulty comes, do you run for the hills? Do you seclude? Do you run off into the corner? Or do you ask God, what do you have? What are you showing me? What are you revealing to me? What doors are you opening for me for the will of God in my life? And you might have done it wrong. Can I just say to you, you might have done it wrong. You might have just went through a disrupting season. You might have been the person that just pulled the covers up over your head and you just wanted to wait until it was all over. Can I tell you this morning, the next time you face it, the next time you go through it, the next time you look at it, would you open up your eyes and to where your help comes from? Would you lift up your head and say, God, what do you have for me to do in this season? What are you showing me in this season? What do I need to change within my heart of hearts in this season? How you adapt to disruption will determine how far God takes you. There are people wishing that everything would go back to normal. You heard them. You've heard people say that. You might even be the one. I just wish it would all go back to the way it was. Let me give you a fact finder this morning. It ain't going back, baby. Even before COVID, I heard statements like this. Oh, you know, 20 years ago, I wish everything was the way it was 20 years ago. We didn't have these problems. We didn't have these issues. It's counterproductive. What can we do in the season that we're in to adapt, to morph, to change, to be flexible to what God has for us today? And let me preface it on this. I don't like change. You're not looking at a guy that, oh, yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think it's wonderful. When anything changes in my house, when a chair changes, when the toothbrush changes, guys, you know what I'm talking about today. When the chili changes just a little bit, I'm the first guy to say, hey, man, honey, why do we got to change this? Why does this have to be adjusted all to travel down the road just a little longer and look back and go, man, we should have done that a long time ago. Yeah, I'm a Monday morning quarterback too. Yeah, you're not the only one. Not only do you need to be flexible, but the people that you tie yourself to need to be flexible. You can't expect to grow. You can't expect to develop if you're tied to people that are tied to your past, not tied to your future. And I'm no professional at marriage, but I'll tell you this morning, in 17 years, the way that we do life today is totally different than the way we did life when we first got married. You can't be so married to the plan or process that you forget the purpose of God in your life. And some of us, I love this statement, some of us love the way we praise more than the Lord we praise. Ushering changes, preaching changes, music changes. We can't enjoy what we do more than the Lord we do it for. And I look up here this morning. I look up here this morning. You got a 17-year-old leading worship in the church. Thursday night, three brand new worship leaders in the last 5 years. You have to have progress. You have to develop people. And newsflash, it's not going to be the same all the time. But if we remember that we're doing it for the Lord, and it's the will of God for us to progress and not stay where we were forever, we can understand and realize it's for the best. I love singing hymns. Listen, I know the words better than anybody in this room. Don't I, Mom? I know the words to every hymn. You can name a hymn and I can sing it. But I'm here to tell you, my kids aren't wild about hymns, and I want them in church. And so I'll sing, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. And you think it comes natural. It doesn't come natural to me. What comes natural is draw me near, nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross. That's what comes natural to me, but I'm willing to be flexible to see the will of God take place in a generation. And in Ruth chapter 1, I read you into Ruth chapter 2. In Ruth chapter 1, a famine hits. And I'm going to move fast this morning, so follow me. A famine hits. I just looked at the clock and said, I got to go. In Ruth chapter 1, a famine hits her family. Naomi has a decision at this time of the famine where she is. She can either stay in what she's always done and get what she's always got. No, she wouldn't even get what she's always got because famine hit the ground. Famine hit the land and nothing was coming out of the ground anymore. Naomi makes a decision at this point in Scripture. You go back and read it later in Ruth chapter 1, and she says, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to move. I'm going to flex to this other thing for a season because God has given water here, and he's not doing it the way he used to do it. She begins to minister to her family. She begins I'll put it this way. She puts up cameras in the sanctuary and broadcasts the services live so people all over the country can watch them. She pivots. She makes an adjustment. She starts small groups because she understands that there must be fellowship in the house of the Lord. She distributes food on Liberty Street every Wednesday because the need changes and God brings water in another season in a different way. And in chapter 1, she embraces this adjustment. She decided, I need to grow, and the only way for me to grow is to feel just a touch uncomfortable. I'll do what I need to do to continue developing. And in chapter 1, there's severe famine, cattle dying, there's loss everywhere. And she says, the only way God is going to send provision is if I change. And I want to sow that into you this morning. If you're asking God to do something in your life, a miracle in your home and in your life, and you won't change an inch, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir. God is not going to do the miracle you're asking for if you won't move an inch. And Naomi begins to move. She begins to shift. She begins to flex. And she comes into this new season in her life. And I want you to catch this now. And I begin to read in the end of the first chapter of Ruth and into the second chapter. And a new famine hits her. She has a nice, easy, smooth ride for a while. Am I saying it right, Mom? Things are going right. Things are going smooth. And then all of a sudden, another famine hits her. But it's not a famine in the physical. It's a famine of the heart. Her husband dies. Her two sons die. There's no one to hold her. There's no one to love her. There's no one to appreciate her. And she's forced into another position where she has to change again. I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I don't want to change. They should all change. The world should change. God, you should change. I don't want to change. You've heard that. And she's forced again in this next season. She's got to change again. You got to read the book of Ruth because I don't have enough time to go through it all. She's all of a sudden, she's forced to change all over again. And we all understand that change never stops. And we have to be brave enough. This character in the scripture, it's her daughter-in-law, comes walking in the scripture, and Naomi's ready to change, but Oprah's not ready to change. Hello. Because she's married to her past. Her roots are in Naomi's past. Her roots aren't in her future. And she says, Mom, I'm sorry. I know you're going to continue to change. I know your spirit, you're going to continue to morph. I know you're going to continue to be flexible. Let me give you a kiss because I'm out of here. And my second point this morning is you got to be brave enough to allow people to kiss you goodbye. To let you go. It's not that you want them to go. It's not that you asked them to go. It's not that you don't love them or like them anymore. They just can't be attached to what God has for you in the future. And I'm going to tell you why I said this to you. The reason I said this to you this morning is because some of you, your heart's broken over people who have left you. It's not because of you. It's not because of them. It's because they're attached to your history. They're not attached to your destiny. And Naomi decides, I'm changing. Naomi decides, I'm going to be flexible. Naomi decides, I'm walking into a new season in my life. Do you feel that way? There's another individual that is in Naomi's life. Her name is Ruth. And as Naomi begins to shift and change and progress and flex, you know what Ruth says? She says these words to Naomi. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I'm not leaving you. And here's why I'm not leaving you. Because I know you're obedient to the will of God in your life. And those are the kind of people that you want to have around you. People that aren't obedient to what used to be and what always was. You want to be obedient and you want to get together with people that say, God, whatever you have for me in this next season, I want to be a part of. My last point this morning. She decides, Ruth decides, I'm home and I'm not leaving. And I believe with all my heart. We've been through a season. We've been through difficulty. Listen, I've been in church my whole life. I've never seen the church shut down. I've never seen cameras in the same. I've never seen the change and progression and the closing and the disruption in a church, in the church of Jesus Christ, like I've seen it in the last year. And I want you to just look around this morning. The people that you're sitting around, the people that are still watching online, the people who are still making things happen Monday through Sunday here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're home and they made it. Amen. My brother inspired this point. We were on the phone last week, my brother Ben. My brother said to me these words. My brother doesn't say a lot about the church stuff, but he said this to me, just the two of us talking on the phone. He was on the way to work. He said, Ryan, I know a lot's happened in the last year, but he said, I want to tell you this, that I've been here all my life. And he said, I've seen the things change in the last year, but he says it feels so right. It feels so God. We begin to talk about COVID. We begin to talk about the season in this earth. And Ruth says to Naomi, she says, I'm not going anywhere. Because it's not about you being a God. It's about the God that you serve and are obedient to. And I want to be a people. I want to be a person. I want to be in a marriage where we're obedient to God right to the very end. Ruth is totally out of her comfort zone in chapter 2. I'm almost done. Hear this. She's totally outside of her comfort zone. She doesn't know the people. She doesn't know the place. She doesn't know the field. She doesn't know the people who own it. She knows nothing about the season that she's walked into. Have you felt like that in the last year? That you don't even know what to expect anymore? You don't even know what's coming next? You just say to yourself, what's going to happen next? That's where Ruth is in this scripture. And she walks in and she says, can I just be a slave in the field? You know the story. She says, can I just go out and can I glean after the reapers? Can I just get a little bit so I can survive? And hear this. 3 verses later, after she makes a decision, I'm not leaving, and I'm devoted to an adjustment, to a flexing, to a change. 3 verses later, she becomes the owner of the field. You're going to own some stuff. You're going to own this season of your life. You've been through disruption. You've been obedient. You've been through difficult circumstances, but you're going to own this next season. And I want to end with this today. I want to tell you this, and I've paraphrased a lot this morning, but I want to end with this morning. I want you to know that Ruth in the scripture, and I love this. Now, how many of you know who Ruth ends up becoming? Wave at me. Anybody? You do. Okay. Ruth ends up becoming, because she was flexible, because she could adjust. Listen to this. After she married Boaz, Ruth bore a son. The future father of Jesse, who would become the father of King David. Thus, Ruth was David's grandmother and listed in the book of Ruth and in the gospel, the synoptic gospels, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Because you've heard Jesus called the son of David. Just because she decided my obedience, my alliance, my spirit can adjust, it can be flexible, it can change to the will of God, she becomes in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. And I didn't ask this in the first service, but I felt the check of my spirit to ask you in this service, what could you become if you made just a little adjustment? What could you become if you made just a little change? That thing that God's been pricking your heart, he's been asking you to start a small group. He's been asking you to serve. He's been asking you to honor someone. He's been asking you to encourage someone. He's been asking you to just flex just a little bit. And what could you become if you made that change? You could become something so beautiful. I want you to know this morning that God has more ahead for you than you can even imagine. Can you imagine if Ruth even knew she'd be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Imagine if she knew that. She'd have run out in that field so fast. What do you want me to pick up? What do you want me to take care of? But God's looking for us to walk by faith and not by sight. He's looking for us to make decisions, to make a plan, to walk in the purposes of God without all the answers up front. How many of you will commit to that this morning? Lift your hand. Father, I pray for everyone that's lifted their hand, that's in a dark season, in a season of just wondering and wandering. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there would be a revelation, that there would be an outpouring, that there would be a download from heaven on a life in this place this morning. And God will say it was because you did it. And we'll give you the glory for it. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this beautiful season. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this is your next chapter. Give the Lord a praise if you believe that. Come on, give him a praise if you believe that. I want to say thank you so much for all of this, and what an honor it is. And we're going to be back at 12 noon, and we're just walking into a great season. Don't you believe that this morning? Amen. I love you. Have a great day.